We're going to be visiting in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke this morning. We'll be picking up verse 13, Luke 24, verse 13. The story of the two traveling to Emmaus on the same day that Jesus was resurrected. And hear their story. Father God, as we open these pages, may we realize the treasure in our hands. Father, paper, ink, indeed put together by human hands somewhere. But in the same way that a photo album is paper with just pictures on it, but we open and we see our parents, our grandparents, our children. We see events, we see weddings. That photo album becomes more to us than just a book with paper and pictures. And Lord, may this book in our hands now be more to us, because in it is your inspired word. Inspired from the throne of heaven. Yes, men wrote down the words, but you placed them in circumstances, you placed words in their hearts, sometimes you placed words in their very mouths, so that we would receive what we have. And Lord, may we treasure it. May we love your word. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read just a little bit further than what's printed in the bulletin this morning, because this is a kind of a whole story and hard to separate. We'll focus more on one part than another. But again, Luke 24, picking up with verse 13. Now that same day, two of them, meaning two of Jesus' followers, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' Then they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11, those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of all the joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, "This is what is written. Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So we have here these, starts with the two, they're traveling, Jesus comes and meets them, and then leaves them, and they go and tell the 11, and Jesus shows up there. This is quite an event. These two, Cleopas and this other person, we don't know who the other person is. Some people suggest it may have been Cleopas' wife because they named Cleopas and didn't name the other person, and it would not have been unusual not to have named a woman companion who was with him. So some people think it may have been Cleopas and his wife, but we really don't know who the other person was. And as they're traveling, this guy shows up. As they're traveling out in the middle of nowhere where they probably would not have expected to see Jesus. If Jesus had risen, they would have expected it to happen somewhere else with a bigger crowd, maybe, that he would have shown himself. They probably weren't expecting to see him. And for whatever reason, we're just told that they were not able to recognize who he was. And then Jesus begins to explain to them what had to take place. What had been said all along. He said what he says to them, the law and the prophets, and he says later, the law and of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Jesus explained to them, and he talked about probably the sacrifices and observances that were in the law of Moses that pointed to Jesus. And how Moses himself said, "The Lord will raise up a prophet like me, but one that would be greater." He talked about the law. He talked about the prophets. He would have talked about what Isaiah said, the shoot that would come up from the stem of Jesse. He talked about the Psalms. Maybe he talked about Psalm 22, which is the Psalm of the cross, which lays out, if you've ever read the 22nd Psalm, it is an exact image of what took place on the cross, written several hundred years before, including the piercing of the hands and feet, including the evil men surrounding him, including the gambling for his clothing, all pointing toward Jesus. And you wonder if he was trying to convince them why he didn't just show himself to them. I mean, they would have gotten it then, right? If he had revealed himself, they would have understood. Or when he showed up to the 11 and he does the same thing to this other crowd, he doesn't show exactly who he is at first, but he begins to talk to them about the scriptures. And here we can see that Jesus was setting into place a pattern to be followed from that point forward. That to understand Jesus, one must understand the Word of God. To understand who Jesus is requires an understanding of the Word of God. These people, these men that had traveled with him, men and women that had traveled with Jesus, they knew Jesus. Jesus, when he was walking with these two, if they really didn't recognize him, he could have walked on some water, multiplied some fish and bread. He could have healed someone. But no, he explains the scriptures. He explains all the scriptures so that they would understand. And the message in there for us is the same thing. For us to really know who Jesus is, we've got to start in Genesis and move forward to understand who Jesus really is. I think it's often said that when they refer to the fact that their hearts were burning inside them, it's because they were walking with Jesus. And while that was certainly a tremendous experience, hear what they say. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? It was the understanding of the scriptures that caused their hearts to burn within them. When they saw that this Jesus, that they didn't know was the person with them, but this Jesus who they had traveled with, who they had seen perform these miracles, who they had seen murdered, and who they've heard was now living again, when they understood that he fulfilled everything that came forward out of the law, everything that came forward from the prophets, and everything that came forward out of the Psalms, they finally got kind of in the flow. They finally saw the dots connected. They finally saw the real picture of who this Jesus was. And that then enabled them to believe in the resurrection. They had to understand who he was, who God had always said he was. Then they could believe in the resurrection. See, seeing is believing. That doesn't always work, right? Sometimes we have to have something in us, some basis, some foundation in order for us to believe. He does the same thing in this room when he shows up in this room and talks to them. And he, again, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law and prophets, and open their minds so they could understand the scriptures. It is vital that we understand the Word of God. And these two, it's interesting also, I think, that Jesus appears first to the women who go and tell, and then he appears to these two and they go and tell. You would think, if I was setting this up, he'd have gone right immediately either into the middle of town or to the 11 remaining disciples. That's who I would think he would go to first. But it says Jesus is kind of moving around the circle, around the core of this group, telling other people, showing himself to other people, so they begin to get the information in, and then he comes. After they've heard, after they've seen what wasn't in the tomb, and they hear the reports, and then they see Jesus. But he shows up with these two, and what it would be like to have God himself teaching you the scriptures. Well, I'll tell you. You do. Because one of the things that Jesus said is this. All this time, this is in John 14, all this time I have spoken with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Cleopas and whoever his companion was knew something special was taking place as they walked and as they heard. And when they reflected back on it, when they realized it was Jesus, after it all sunk in, they said, "Didn't you know that there was something happening? Were not our hearts burning within us?" And church, I'm here to tell you now that your heart can burn within you for the Word of God. Because God the Father has sent God the Holy Spirit to teach us what His Word says, what His Word means, so that we can understand and believe in the resurrected Christ. We have to present ourselves and put ourselves in positions where we can receive that which God is offering to us. Jesus just showed up and talked. And they invited Him to come along. And they invited Him to stay. And with that invitation on their part, they received this tremendous, tremendous gift, this tremendous blessing. And it's the same thing for us. If we will open our hearts to receive what God is offering us, we can understand what God wants us to know. And this is a tremendous book. This Word of God is a tremendous book. And that even that phrase, the Word of God, is something that means more than just the book that's here. Jesus is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is also called the Word of God. And they are all intertwined. When you receive the Word of God, that's what you're receiving. And if you'll put yourself in a position to receive that, to hold it, to read it, to hear others talk about it, to question it. These two on the road, they had questions. They didn't get it all. And Jesus didn't say, you should have gotten that already, and walk away from them. No. In their hunger to understand, He poured in His knowledge. So many of us, we hold off because we don't understand. And this tremendous book is so incredible that scholars have studied it for their entire lives and died without a complete understanding. And a 5-year-old can pick it up and understand what it has to say to them. That's the tremendous thing about this book. It is extremely accessible and useful for every single person, and yet it is an unending source, a well that cannot go dry, a source of information and blessing and teaching that can go on and on and on. And if we will reveal ourselves, honestly open ourselves, that there's things that we don't understand, then God will pour His Holy Spirit out and help us to understand. I know we have a lot of teachers in here, and even if you weren't a teacher, you were a student, and you heard a teacher say this, right? The only bad question is the one that goes unasked. The student that doesn't know and doesn't raise his hand doesn't receive the answer to his question and goes away anxious and unknowing. But the kid will raise his hand and ask, and maybe even stay after class and ask some more, will receive. And the teacher is joyful in giving that. How much more is our Father in heaven joyful to give to us if we'll ask? Church, we can have our hearts burn inside us as the Holy Spirit comes and teaches us what God wants us to know. How I love the Word of God and what it has to give us, and how God can minister to us through this Word, through His Word. And when we have Scripture in our heart, like the scripture that says, your word I have hidden my heart. Moment of confession here. Week before last was crazy. We had four services in 4 days. There was a lot of stuff going on. A lot of pastoral care stuff going on, things that I'd love to do. But it came Saturday night, and I just didn't feel ready to preach on Sunday morning. I had two sermons to give. And I was upstairs in my house, and I was anxious about it. As I went and I set my Bible down on the bed, and I was just trying to figure out what step to take, and it was getting late. Then you read Scripture, then you know Scripture, then you hear Scripture, and I hear God speaking, in your weakness, I'm strong. In your weakness, I am strong. I got it. God's got it. I say it all the time, and I don't say it nearly enough. Spend some time in the Word of God. Don't be afraid of opening your Bible. If you don't know where to start, go to the Gospel of John. You don't want to read John, read the book of James. Spend time. But don't open it, your Bible, without first opening your heart, without first opening in prayer and asking God to speak to you. And He will. He will. And your heart will burn with what He brings to you. Amen.